Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ra-ra-ra-ra.
Hala Hala Show Season 2 Mix Number
37.
Yeah, welcome to the Hala Hala Show. And whoa, we got some sponsors this week.
What?
Yeah. First of all, thank you to Upstream. You can check out the new Bob Odenkirk movie, Nobody. It's on upstream.ph. Currently has a 98% Rotten Tomatoes Metacritic score. Yeah. And it is one of the best, hailed as one of the best action comedy thrillers in recent years by film critics. You can watch it from the comforts of your own home at upstream.ph. I already watched it, actually. Good movie.
Oh, really?
Talked about it on here. Yeah, it's a great movie. It's like John Wick-esque, you know?
Love it.
Love it. Thank you, them. And also to EHEF, the European Higher Education Foundation. And we'll talk about it.
We're actually joined by our esteemed guests today.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about EHEF later on the pod.
Yeah, for the commercials. But for the first timers here, welcome to the podcast. This is where we just talk about anything and everything under the sun. We have a little bit of structure. We have something called Where You Been, where Rika and I talk about our lives. And then we have the TTs for today. What are our trending topics for today?
Well, first of all, we're going to start with... what does that voice?
Well, first of all...
We're going to start with, you know, like election news, who's going to run for president, you know, voter registration and everything, because we are responsible human beings indeed, and we are adults up in here.
Yes, we are.
And then we are going to talk about the tragic news that happened in La Union about Bree Johnson and her death. And we're also going to talk about a story that's somewhat similar.
Yeah, similar. Involves in this case, a missing person, but presumed dead already. But a case that captivated the internet, especially on TikTok, about a girl who went missing named Gabby Petito, and also the disappearance of her boyfriend, who is a suspect in her disappearance, and it was a witness in her. A key witness that they're looking for to find out what really happened to Gabby Petito. So we'll talk about that for our TT today. You can go to the timestamps if you want to skip to that. But shall we start with where you been? What you do this week?
No, you start.
I'll start.
Okay. I'll start because you started last. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Well, what happened this week? Oh, right. Yesterday, I was just with my friends, and this is the reason why we didn't get to record yesterday, because I don't know. I just felt like it was, only my second day off. Like literally I have nothing to do. So I wanted to just enjoy the day fully. You know what I mean? So I ate for the first time in Kikufuji. I know it's been there for like the longest time, right? But I feel like because I didn't have my college years here, I didn't really get to experience, I don't know, that part of the city. So it was my first time trying Kikufuji for the lunch menu. And I think it's more sulit if you take the lunch, but I don't know, it's my first time, but it was definitely worth it because they have like the tuna crispy whatever, and I ordered fish, which was soft. It was so soft, like butter. It's like I'm eating butter.
Yummy.
And it was so flavorful. It wasn't fishy at all. And then so we went to Kikufuji, we went to Yardstick. Oh my god. Okay,
what?
So wait lang. Sorry. Yeah. So
sorry,
I tried this drink in Yardstick, and it's called Americano Soda. So basically it's an Americano, I guess, in soda water. But I loved it, and it's basta may lion siya. Hindi ko. May lion. Okay. Pag nakita mo, pumunta ka doon, parang nakalagay lion something. Anyway, but you can order an Americano soda and it has a lemon slice on top of it. It was so refreshing. I actually forgot that I was drinking coffee. It was so, so good. And they actually have like other flavored coffee in that line. I guess it's like a line in their menu. They have like popcorn coffee and everything, like marshmallow and shit. So super set up. I recommend you guys try the Americano soda. I don't know. I like bright coffee. So that was pretty bright for me.
What does that mean? What does bright?
It's more on like the fruity, acidic, ganon side
versus bitter.
No, more like dark. Gets more deep coffee. I really enjoyed that drink. And then we walked to the other side of the street where Curator was, and thankfully they had the coffee cold brew slushy, because usually they would only have it during weekends, but they had it on a Monday, and I was so lucky because I got to try their cold brew and coconut water slushy. Oh my God. It's like a vacation in your freaking mouth, dude. It's like your tongue was on vacation. I was so blown away by both cups that I bought. I did not regret a single thing that I spent yesterday. It was so good. Day off well spent. After that, we delivered coffee to somebody, and then because my friend works in apat kasi kami, si Jelay, Abs, ako, and Alec, and then we delivered coffee to somebody because one of my friends, they work in Yardstick, and they had like a PR thing delivered, and then after that we had pizza and beer. And my condo, thankfully, we're allowed because, yun nga, parang, you know, they ease the restrictions and everything. But of course, we're still safe. We're all vaccinated. And what else? Oh, before that, actually, we were all still together because, we drank in Juanitos.
I love Juanitos.
Juanitos is open. Yes.
I love Juanitos.
Mm. We ate like 20 sticks of isaw and a bunch of peanuts. And then I was wondering why I was so hungry at the end of the night. And because I drank a couple of beers and then I drank more beer, you know, as the night progressed. But for some reason, I was passed out. Like, they had to carry me to my bed. Like, they had to change my clothes. I don't know what. You know what? We actually have a theory. It's because the day before that, Saturday night, I rode my bike from Ortigas Center to Quezon City, Tandang Sora, to my house at 10 p.m., dude. Wow. After a long day at our coffee counter, I had my shift at RX. And then after that, I just decided for some reason I wanted to bike. So from Ortigas, I went to Guadix. I rode EDSA. I went to White Plains, which is so, so dark, by the way.
Damn, you rode along EDSA? You're a gangster.
Yeah. And then I got lost in Marikina City. I was so shocked because I was just following the
road.
I was following the bike lane. And then nakita ko na lang, bakit may tarpaulin ng Marikina? Bakit nasa Riverbanks na ako? So yes, I got lost in Riverbanks. And thankfully, I still had like 20% battery on my phone. But still, that was pretty risky, right? And I just went back to Katipunan. Thankfully, it was just like a long U-turn. So I got home at around 11:30. It was a pretty long ride because I had to stop from time to time because I wanted to document everything. So I'd take photos and videos and shit. I got home and I was so tired. I didn't even wash my hair or whatever. Kasi nakatulog na lang ako bigla.
I love it.
Then I woke up. I didn't want to ride my bike anymore going to Ortigas because I had a shift at our coffee counter. So I took a Grab, and the Grab driver was so nice. He allowed me to put my bike at the back of his car, like dun sa passenger sa likod. And we took out the front wheel and everything. And apparently because he also rides his bike around.
That's cool.
I know. And he told me about like the roots and stuff and like the rules and where, you know, where to go and like secret, you know, like pathway and stuff. So that was pretty cool. Actually, I actually have his name on my phone, so I'm going to look for it later. Oh, nice. But shout out to Euclid Grab Driver. So I went to, you know, I went back to Capitolio for my shift. Friday was pretty chill. Actually, the rest of the week was pretty chill because it was raining a little bit, I think. I don't remember doing anything special. Maybe did I watch a movie? Right. I watched Coda, by the way.
Did you like it?
I loved it.
It's good, right?
It's like a hug.
I know.
It's like a warm hug. I loved that movie. I know. And especially with how they talk so normally. Mm-hmm. You know how, cause sometimes, I don't know, they overdo it in movies. With a, alam mo yung parang cadence nung conversation, parang medyo praktisado. Yeah. Yung ganon. Yung dito parang may awkward silence. Yung, I love the whole movie. So thank you for recommending that one.
Ang ganda ng boses nga, no? Her voice ang is
ganda,
so nice.
Ang ganda ng lahat.
Yeah.
As in, like, na-appreciate ko talaga.
So good.
I did watch, I'm still watching Hometown Cha-Cha-Cha. Because, you know me with Korean dramas. I watch it. I don't know, when I'm just free.
What is the story of Hometown Cha-Cha-Cha? Well, I know you like it because the guy from Startup is in it, right?
Yeah, si Kim Son-ho. So anyway, basically, this big-time dentist went to the countryside to open up her own clinic. And she got to know this hometown chief, like the village chief. And then apparently he's like the guy you call for everything in that village. He's the plumber. He's the, you know, doorknob guy. He's everything. He's a real estate broker. He's everything. So, hindi ko pa alam yung catch, but that's basically, I guess that's like the whole premise of Hometown Cha-Cha. Alam mo yun, yung parang,
yes.
He goes around, you know, the village.
He's like a jack of all trades, right? Guy who fixes everything.
And I mean, it's Kim Son-ho, so I'm not complaining. I am not complaining. What else did I do? I have to look at my phone. You know, sometimes that's how you're reminded.
Yeah.
What else?
Oh, sira yung camera ng phone ko. My focus on my camera has been broken for like a few months now, I think.
Nakita nga kita. You were taking photos,
videos
of like videos of something sa front cam. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, I do remember. So Abby and I, we biked to Makati, and we took another route because we have a route that we take that we're used to, which is BGC. We cross EDSA. We go to Makati and stuff like that. But this time around, we had to drop off coffee, like emergency drop off, because we don't usually do that, to a customer in Mandaluyong. And it's the street called F. Martinez Street. And whenever we mention that street to bikers, like our customers, they would be like, oh man, why'd you take that road? Oh man, I feel so bad for you. It just means it's such a hassle road. And it was so chaotic to the nth level. It's like the movie Uncut Gems, but road version. Gets mo ba?
Yeah.
Ang daming nangyayari. There was a bike lane. It was a decent bike lane, by the way. But there were just like a lot of tricycles parked and my baby, tas may nakatwalya, tas yung ganon, yung parang ano nangyayari, guys? So it was along that road, deep Mandaluyong. It was actually the part where parang ano na siya, Makati area na rin siya. So we went to that street, and then just a little bit we just crossed a bridge, which is the Mandaluyong Makati Bridge, and we were in JB Rizal. We went to Kohi Makati on Instagram, and they have the Kohi coffee, yung the iced ones, yung parang naka ice cubes na coffee, and then you pour milk. Yeah, that's like their specialty. But since it was too late to have coffee, me and Abs, we just bought their Japa dogs. So they have like hot dogs. And these are the hot dogs that I like because, alam mo yung may snap. Yung when you bite on it, it has like a snap.
Like a case.
Yeah. Yung parang may casing siya, ganun. So we got their hot dogs. It was so good. It was so worth it. It was so worth the hassle of crossing Mandaluyong. And they were pretty nice people too, because a couple of days after we got to talk to the owners actually, and one of them is Brian. We got to talk to him, and a couple of days after, they visited us in our coffee counter, and it was just so nice for me, like, you know, to see the community not hating on each other, more like supporting each other. Literally, nag lunch break sila, sinara nila yung kohi so that they could go to 1C. Alam mo yun? And I'm like, nakakakilig, wala lang. That's why I feel like now, because we got so much, I don't know, support from people over the whole quarantine, we felt like we really wanted to give back and to support other small businesses as well. So I am so genuine in telling all the Leche fans this. If you have like a community or village, I don't know, coffee shop, milk tea bar or flower shop or whatever, something small, a small business, if you can support, why not, diba? Instead of, I don't know, ordering sa isang malaking chain, why not support these small businesses in your area, especially Black, Pink,
in your area.
Anyway, actually, after that, I went to Cheech & Chang naman.
You know, I've never been there.
You know what? I feel like you're going to like it.
I know.
Dude.
You know what?
Alfresco. I feel like I will. I feel like you will, dude. Like, let's go there. I'm so happy for them, because they had to close even for takeout during the whole quarantine. Mm-hmm. And once they opened up reservations for the night, for the first night they're going to open, dude, fully booked. Like, wala nang table. Sobra. And I'm so, so happy for them. Thankfully, my friend, I think, knows the owner or something. Nakakuha kami ng table earlier than the scheduled. Gets mo ba? Nauna kami. Nice. So when the people who reserved the actual table were there, we had to leave. But it was still so good, because I got to eat Lechon Macau Bao, the best, for the win, dude. As in, Lechon Macau Bao supremacy, hindi ko na talaga alam. As in, wala na ako iba maisip buong gabi. Like, after eating that bao, I'm like, what the fuck, dude? Lechon Macau Bao. But anyway, that was my week. I just worked out a lot. And then, you know, I had to work out because I ate a lot.
Oh, that's me every day.
I know.
Finn. You know, while it's fresh in my mind, since we're talking about food, I got a bunch of food sent to me over the week. The most recent one was from Indulge by Daisy Marie. You've had their champurrado, right?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. So the chocolate champurrado, I didn't get that one. They sent me something that is coming soon. So it was actually I was one of the first few people to taste it. And it's the ube champurrado with panna cotta on top. My God. Dude, that shit is good. It's not
so
too
hungry.
Sweet. It's not
Why
too
would you
sweet.
Do this to me?
It's so good. So I don't know when they're releasing it. You can check it out on Instagram. I think it's Indulge by Daisy Marie. Just search it. I'm sure you'll find it. I don't know when it comes out, but because I've never had the chocolate one that you've had.
Yeah. But it's so good.
Yeah. If it's similar, then I look forward to trying it as well, because the ube panna cotta was not, I mean, it's sweet, but it's not like overly sweet. And I think it was really like a worthy, like I would buy it. It was sent to me, but I would definitely buy that again. It's so good. I finished two tubs in 2 days. It was crazy. I also got some Sylvanias from Conti's, which were really good. I love the, ang tawag din, I forgot the name of the flavor. Yung parang, ano, cookie butter. I forgot the name. It escapes me. But Conti's has a really good, their Sylvanias were really good. Other than that, man, my week has been pretty slim. So I told you guys that I bought shirataki kasi nabudol ako ni Rika sa IG story.
Uy, masarap, diba? Did you like it?
Okay, so
it's in the preparation.
Yeah, so I got the brand that is sold on Shopee. The name of the store is All Good Mart. So each pack of noodles is like 69 pesos. So there's angel hair, there is spaghetti, and then there's rice. So I got all three. TBH, the rice, I wasn't super feeling. Like, it's okay.
Okay.
But it made my tummy feel a little bit weird. I don't think, not really bad. It just, maybe hindi lang sana yung, ano, dyan ko sa shirataki rice. I don't know. But the noodles itself were good. So I ordered, I ordered 60 more.
No, 60?
Yeah, for
six,
the month. Yeah, wait, for the month.
60?
60, yeah.
Why?
For the month. Para i-replace ko na yung ano.
Yung pasta.
Yung pasta noodles and rice in general. You know, to shift to a more low carb diet. Hopefully I can see the, you know, hopefully it helps me. Well, my goal is weight loss. So I think it's going to work. I mean, so far the last week and a half that I've had it, even though I ate all the you know, the champorado and stuff, my weight has actually gone down a little bit. So I'm not, you know, not medical advice, right? But I'm just saying, like, I think it's a good change to my diet so far. So I bought, you know, I bought enough to, I just bought the noodles. I bought the spaghetti. Kasi hindi ko malana eh. I can't taste the difference between angel hair and spaghetti, TBH. Cause I just,
well, it's just thinner, right?
Yeah. I just put, yeah, I just put different stuff like toppings. So like you said, but you put yours with peanut butter. And
yeah. Cereal.
So I was just mixing random stuff with it. So yeah, that's kind of like the only major highlight of my week. Besides one more thing, which I can talk about this for a little bit. I binge watched Squid Game. On Netflix.
Okay. I know a lot of people are talking about this.
Spoiler. Spoiler free, but, the synopsis is, so if you've ever watched Hunger Games, Battle Royale, et cetera, et cetera, it's a similar concept where people are put in a game and they have to compete to survive. And the winner takes home a large cash prize. Now, they added some things that I've kind of never seen in this sort of Battle Royale genre.
Mm-hmm.
One is, it's not really a spoiler, but they're doing it for money. Right. Normally, like I say, you know, like a Battle Royale, Hunger Games, they're not doing it for money. It's involuntary. In this case, the people who are playing the game actually chose to be there, which is pretty different, you know, a different take on the whole genre. I don't know the name of the stars, TBH. I know two of them are pretty, like, they've been in other K-dramas. I don't watch K-dramas at all.
Oh, wait, it's a K-drama?
Yeah, it's a K-drama. It's nine episodes. Okay. Yeah, it's like a mini series. So nine episodes, each episode's about 50 minutes long. So it's like a mini movie every time. And it is violent. It is intense. The acting, for the most part, I think is really good, except for you'll know what I'm talking about, but there's white people. They're garbage. They're so bad. But the show itself has some fantastic, like, set pieces too. Yung parang ano, yung... Diba every Battle Royale movie has a setting, diba?
Yeah.
Like in Hunger Games, they have the dome with all the unique, you know, mga whatever. Battle Royale, it's like an island. In this case, their take on the games is para siyang ano, childhood game. So if it was here, let's say the Squid Game was a game was made here, yung mga games na mga patintero, yung mga old school Pinoy games, but in this case it's old school Korean like childhood games. That's their twist on the game. Yun lang, deadly yung mga games. So it was I don't know. I think it's a great watch. I don't want to
talk. You said it's stressful.
It's stressful, but it's interesting. I mean, it's like edge of your seat stressful, like, you know, but you want to watch what happens next. You're wondering who's going to die next. Who do you want to survive? You start picking favorites. You start questioning your own morality too, because, you know, all these movies, whenever I watch them, not just Squid Game, but every Battle Royale, like Last Man, Last Woman Standing kind of scenario, always makes me wonder what I would do faced with the same scenario. And I'd like to think I'd be like nice and, you know, I would, you know, be noble and stuff. But down the line, man, I don't think I think I relate more to the villains.
Shit. What if like we're in that situation, tayong dalawa,
right?
That at the end we would have to kill. I'll kill you with kindness. We'd have to kill each other, dude.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like at that point, you know, ideally, one of us. Right now, I would say if you brought it up to me, I say, oh, maybe we could flip a coin, and then one of us will just, you know,
right,
jump off a cliff. But when it comes to that moment,
I might push you.
my arm, my hands are around your neck already. I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry. I would be crying. I'm so sorry. I have to push you off the cliff.
But yeah, Squid Game, it's on Netflix, so you don't got a special agent on it. It's free. It's a great, you know, it's a great time. There are some things that I didn't like also. We can discuss it maybe in a few weeks down the line, so that,
yeah,
you know what, but a spoiler, we can talk about spoilers now. But yeah, that's pretty much my week, man. It was very slim, as it always is. So Finn, shall we do the first set of TTs before we go do ahead. Our commercials? Wapow?
Wapow!
Let's talk about, let's talk some adulting stuff. Let's talk some politics, freaking G.
No, not really politics. It's really more on the voter...
Yeah,
the 2022 election.
Okay, let's talk about it. Right.
So wait first. So we have to start with the... shocking news that Manny Pacquiao will be running for president, will be running for, the presidency in 2022. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's a little, alam mo yung parang, I'm still in shock that they pushed through. But at the same time, it's kind of like we already knew.
Yeah, not surprised.
Not surprised. Yeah. So it says here, Pacquiao accepted the nomination of his political allies during the National Assembly of his faction, which is PDP Laban Party. And then they nominated Duterte for vice president. So that those are just the facts. We are just laying down the facts, okay? And there are a lot of talks on who will be running or, you know, all of their bets and stuff. But another one that's what do you call this? Verified is Mr. Iscol Moreno. He will also run for the presidency in 2022.
Yeah, this and was just announced a few hours ago.
Like a few hours ago. Yeah, so according to his campaign manager, he will be running with Willie Ong, a doctor and public health advocate who ran for senator in 2019. He lost but managed to get the second highest number of votes from overseas absentee voters. So, I mean, I honestly at this point, I don't know what to feel. Also, because you know what? Somebody actually told me that they truly believed in this one candidate before, and they had the same beliefs and virtues and everything. That's why they voted for this candidate. And then during the term, this person was the worst, biglang 180. What happened? Didn't fulfill anything. So at this point, I really don't know what to expect anymore. They might shock us. We don't know.
Yeah. Who knows?
Who knows really at this point? So yes, those are just the facts that we are laying down. We don't really, I don't know. I don't have any, you know, violent thoughts about it.
Yeah.
It's not like we can stop them from running, but what we can do is to register to vote in case somebody runs that is actually aligned with, you know, people's beliefs.
Kailangan deadline. It's
So the deadline is on September 30, 2021. But apparently, the COMELEC chairman, Sheriff Abbas, is actually thinking about a period extension, and they're going to have it on their agenda on the Senate.
Oh, what?
You know, they have a resolution seeking for its adjustment. But this is just all talks first. But still, the end of the registration would be September 30, 2021. So guys, I believe they already have it in malls. They have it in universities. And just remember that this is a one-time, big-time thing. So I know it's like the biggest hassle of all. Pero parang for me, kasi na-experience ko din. I mean, like, alam mo yun, parang may experience naman natin to lahat. It's not like nobody's special here. Ikaw lang yung naka-experience na so. But still, I mean, it's still okay to voice out your opinions that, you know, it's very inconvenient. Yes. The whole registration process is very inconvenient.
But they made it easier now.
They did. They said they made it easier. But I'm getting stories from people who just registered this year and they still waited for hours, sometimes even the whole day. And sometimes they would only give like 200 slots per day.
Yikes.
So, yeah. So it says,
well, actually, maybe an hour when I did it.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, the closer it gets to the deadline, you know, the tighter things are.
Absolutely.
So it really is easier if, you know, you register, you know, far from the due date. But yeah, it is the last 9 days of the voter's registration.
Yeah.
So they have it in malls. They're going to start at 8 a.m. However, I did hear from a friend earlier today. They asked the guard in one mall and they said, what time should we be here? And they said 4 a.m.
4 a.m. Yeah. That's yeah. What I was thinking.
So, So yeah, ang ginawa niya, I think he slept over at a friend's house that's near the mall. Yeah. So that's what they're going to do. Yeah. Maybe ask the staff, ask the people who work there, ask the people who just registered what the conditions are. And of course, we also want to be safe because you're still going to go in public and you're going to be surrounded by other people. So just be safe. Wear your mask, double mask if you can.
Yeah.
And don't go near people. Don't go talking to people, like small talk.
Hey, who
and
are you
shit.
Voting for? Hey, who are you voting for?
Hey, where'd you go to high school, man?
Hey, man. What are you voting for?
No, but yeah. And all of the information, actually, it's in the Comelec Facebook page. It's actually pretty easy if you go on there.
Yeah, indeed.
May Twitter sila, guys.
Oh, di ba?
Lala. Nagulat lang. May Twitter sila. Anyway, that's it. That's it for the election
stuff.
Portion.
Updates for now, right? Wapow?
Whoop-ow.
All right, so before we move on to the final two TTs, we're going to do our commercials. And just a disclaimer, normally we do these live, but since we had some guests with us, we actually pre-recorded this. And it's a little bit it's actually a lot longer than our typical commercials. But we do encourage you to listen because,
interesting.
It's interesting, and I think there's something that, you know, especially if you're a student or you want to pursue something in graduate studies, and maybe in Europe, I think it's a fantastic opportunity. Dude, right?
Ganda.
All right. So don't skip past it if you can. Just listen to the whole thing. And then you can listen to the TTs after. All right. So let's do some.
Commercials.
To pay the bill.
Commercials.
To pay the bill.
Commercials.
To pay the bills. This mix is brought to you by the EHEF. Rika G, do you know what the EHEF
Of course.
Is?
Hello. I have a copy in front of me. It's the European Higher Education Fair.
Yep. And we're going to tell you a lot about it. We actually have some guests today. It's a very special commercials. But here are five things first. Before we talk to them, five things you need to know. So that, hindi tayo mayayad, but when we meet these guests, in case you meet these guests too, you can talk to them about it. Five things to know about the EHEF. So what is the EHEF? Okay. It is the European Higher Education Fair. So it is one of the key public diplomacy events of the EU. And over the years, the EHEF in the Philippines has grown to become a major education fair in the country, with representatives from dozens of EU higher education institutions. And last year, Rika G, can you guess how many in the Philippines were registered participants?
Like the actual number? I have an actual number in mind.
Okay.
This is just a guess on top of my head.
Yeah.
8,709.
Oh my God, you're so good. You're so bad. How did you guess that?
So bad getting going.
Yeah, you're right. Last year's EHEF in the Philippines was the biggest to date, with 8,709 participants and 93 participating from different places. EHEI is from Belgium, Czech Republic, Germany, Spain, and Parika G. France,
Italy. All Hungary. The places I've never
all
been
all
to.
All the places you've never been to.
Netherlands, Austria.
Yeah, we'll learn more. But there's a theme for this year's EHEF, and it is Go Higher with EU. So this is meant to highlight the many opportunities for growth that getting higher education in the EU represents. Of course, you know, who wouldn't want to get higher education in Europe? That would be cool.
That's true. You want academic excellence. Yeah. And this is where you go to.
And to all our Lecce fans who are out there, you're like, oh, I wonder if I can, you know, do I fit in this? Can I do this? Well, who can participate in EHEF 2021? Here are kind of like the breakdown. So Filipino college, mm-hmm. grad college graduate and postgraduate students, academicians. How do you say that word? Academicians?
Academicians. Is it chance or shins? Because we don't know. We want to, you know what? We can ask them.
You know why? because we did not participate in EHF.
I know. If we participated, then we would know this word.
Researchers from anywhere in the Philippines who dream and have plans of pursuing higher education. Officials of Philippine higher education institutions, particularly those involved in recruitment, partnerships, and international relations. Also,
and then associations of universities, colleges, and, you know, professionals throughout the Philippines. Also, parents or guardians of students, you know, if they're interested in EU's higher education system.
Yeah. And here's the best part, Rica G, is there a registration fee?
It's free.
Finger guns in the air. It is absolutely free. Registration and attending the virtual fair is absolutely free, and it's taking place from October 1 and 2. You can check their Philippine Facebook account, EHEF Philippines website as well, for how to register. But do you need anything else? Do you need a high-speed internet connection? Well, kind of. I mean, it says here that to participate in the webinars, you need to have a smartphone, a tablet, or PC, and at least an internet connection of 10 megabytes or megabits per second.
Yeah. And just so you get everything, you know, all the information.
Yep.
And you can squeeze out all the, you know, the things that you paid for, aka nothing. It's nothing. Free.
And if you want to pause your downloads for Special Agent John, then that will speed up your internet. It says here, just pause all your downloads. But let's learn more about the EHEF from the three people that actually kind of went through this. So we're going to go through them one by one. Our first guest is, and I'll read his bio because it's impressive. Okay. Kenneth J. Tua, who was Erasmus Mundus Joint Master Degree. Well, we're going to learn what that is. Also took different semesters in, I'm looking at here, four different universities. What? Mm-hmm.
I cannot process.
2021. Let's introduce Kenneth. Welcome to the Hala Hala Show, Kenneth.
Hello, Kenneth.
Hi, JC, Rika. Thanks for having me.
Hi, Kenneth. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good.
Okay. Very chill day.
Nice. So, Kenneth, before we get into knowing who you are, we do something here called the Where You Been. So, what have you been doing lately?
Maybe the past 7 days.
Oh God, 7 days. Oh, okay. So, thankfully, just to give you some, every Sunday it's a family day. Then, just to give you some heads up. Yes, I did. I'm graduating actually today. Supposed to be, I'm in France.
Wow, but congratulations.
Yeah, supposed to be I am in France, but pandemic happened. So it's going to be weird graduation at 10 p.m. later. Mm. And then just a TMI, I'm going to have a second dose of the vaccine tomorrow. So
nice.
Oh, that's nice. That's good.
Congratulations.
News.
So you're a college graduate and you're vaccinated. You are.
Sana all. Sana all. Sana all my second dose.
Kenneth, let's talk about your experience with EHEF. First of all, what is an Erasmus ba? Is that the right? Because Rika and I, we were summa cum nothing in college.
Nothing. So,
what is an Erasmus scholar? What can you tell us about that and how you achieved that status?
Okay, so technically, it's an Erasmus Plus program. It's one of the European Union's main program for education. And under that, there's an Erasmus Mundus Joint Master Degree. And that's the one that I'm telling that I'm going to graduate today. It's an opportunity to actually, how can I say this, learn in Europe, to be able to learn in at least two universities to four universities. So technically, like what you said earlier, it's like a program that you get to go to a university per country. So it's like a big scholarship opportunity where everything is really fully funded by the European Union.
So can I just ask, like, how did you come across EHEF? Like, were you part of an organization in college or something?
Or natag ka lang sa Facebook? I mean, how did you hear about EHEF before?
Well, thankfully, I was in a short program in Singapore, and I met one of the alumni of the program that I just graduated, and she actually suggested this. And so I did explore, ask people, especially those who are part of the EHEF. And here I am. Thank God.
Nice. And I see here on your resume, you took 4 semesters, and then each one are different. And the names are so, can you just walk us through the countries and the universities that you went to?
Okay, so thank you. The first semester was in France, second one in Portugal, third in Romania, and the fourth in Italy. So the idea of this is it's like a different master degrees, but it's going to be a joint diploma at the very end. So it's really cool and really get to learn different culture, different people, and of course, languages.
So you moved around a lot. Did you even unpack? I mean, sobrang TMI, but like, did you have to unpack? Because that's like a lot of moving.
Yeah, it's really stressful because you really need to really unpack every 6 months. And you know, the anxiety of keeping your luggage, like sending it to the next country, and you're not even sure if the caretaker will gonna receive your luggage on the new apartment. Yeah, yes, it's a little bit challenging, but it's part of the adulting stuff. So yeah, I did.
It really teaches you a lot, not just, you know, with academics, but also with life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And Kenneth, I mean, I assume because you the program really changed your life. You've become an EHEF Goodwill Ambassador. So can you tell us about this year's EHEF and what can people expect when they join the fair? Like, what is that going to be like, especially since it's going to be happening online?
Okay. So thankfully, like what you said earlier, it has a theme of go higher with EU. So it's really witty. It's like going higher with you. So this year theme is actually really wanted to reinforce the European Union's distinction as a center of academic excellence. And it's also as it seeks to exhibit its various efforts to remain a global leader in higher education, research, and innovation. And as compared to last year, in which you also said earlier that there were 93 participating European higher education institutions. This year it's going to be 140. And for the first time, Poland will join. And of course, the normal people who always join, the France, Italy. It's going to be a good place where to learn about different opportunities and for universities to network and collaborate.
Wow.
Yeah, so this is all going to be...
Poland,
I know, but this is all going to be virtual, right?
Yeah, it's going to be virtual.
So what can they expect? You know, the students, here we go again, this word, academicians? How do you say that?
How do you say that?
Academicians?
It's the first time I heard that also.
Me so too.
I
just,
we struggle with a lot of words in this podcast, honestly. Okay. What are they going to expect, you know, when they go to the fair?
Okay, so thankfully the AHEF, it will enable students to interact directly with representatives from dozens of the EU higher education institutions. So to get information from their study programs, and then the prospective students can also enjoy country presentations from EU member states and to listen to testimonials from alumni such as me. So yeah.
Nice. And actually, since we have you here and since you're an alumni, you can give us a little bit of a testimonial about your time there. But I guess a big question that a lot of our listeners would have, Kenneth, is the cost, right? What was it? Do you need to have a lot of money to be a part of this or not?
Okay, so technically there are two scenarios that you can go. First, if you are really able to go to Europe and study, you can just go on a good walk on AHEF virtual and just really know about all the opportunities. But if you wanted to apply for a scholarship, so you can apply to the Erasmus Mundus Joint Master's Degree Program, and it's going to be like fully funded. So you don't have to pay anything at all. It includes living allowances, travel allowances, of course, the tuition fee and some field trips, etc. So it's going to be really fully paid. And for those who are able, there are also additional support from each university that you're going to apply. So it's can be a scholarship support or etc. So it's really accessible to everyone, and I really encourage everyone to apply.
This is so amazing because all you need to worry about is your studies, right? They got you covered. That's amazing. Okay. So maybe just like a couple more questions for you. Okay. So you, so it says here that you graduated summa cum laude on, with honors. And can you tell us, like, do you have a secret? Like, what is that your superpower? How do you become an honor student?
Okay, just to clarify, so since I graduated in France, it's like the main university out of the four universities. The how can I say this? The honors is actually called mention très bien, so it's an equivalent to summa cum laude actually. So that's it. And then second, how secret? I would say that when I was in college, I'm that student who is of a more organization student. Like mm-hmm. I do extracurricular, so I was not really a cum laude. So what I can say that a secret can be is like bringing your Filipino identity, because we know that if we're gonna look at the idealistic side, of course, Filipinos are very hardworking and persistent. And I guess it's not being resilient, the toxic culture, but it's more really looking at Filipinos being the one who will be trying always their best on whichever scenario. Kumbaga in Filipino, madiskarte, and masipag.
Mm, I love that.
So I think that's something that I can tell my viewers right now. Like what I said, I was not an honor student during college, but to my surprise, I got this honor. So I'm really, even though I'm still shocked. So yeah, I hope I was able to inspire, you know.
Yeah.
GC, may pag-asa tayo.
So what you're saying is there's hope.
There's yes, hope. There's hope, man.
Hope for us. Anyway, Ken, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to be meeting other people who will be talking about EHEF. But it was great meeting you, and hopefully we meet you in person one time. So thank you so much. Take care.
Thanks, Kenneth.
Okay. Thanks, Kenneth.
Thank you, JC. Thank you, Rika.
All right. Let's meet our next guest, Rika G. Our next guest. She is, wow. Our next guest is a attaché for higher education, linguistics, and head of campus France in the cultural section of the Embassy of France since May of this year. She has a master's degree in international affairs, degree in geopolitics. United States from Long Island University. Let's introduce Yusra Hadoush. Yusra, hi, welcome.
Hello.
Hi, Yusra. Hi.
Hi, everyone.
Hello,
Yusra. Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome, welcome. Yusra, first of all, we got on your resume, we were talking about it behind the scenes, but you can speak 5 languages. That's insane. What languages
do you have
speak?
Like an extra brain? I feel like there's like another one there.
Actually, it's just one. So yes, I do speak 5 languages. Arabic, because I studied Arabic at the university. I have a degree in translation, and English also, thanks to my studies in the US, and Moroccan, because my parents are actually originally from Morocco. So that's why.
Nice. And so you
that is very cool.
You know, but I assume you must be busy all the time, but what do you do for fun? what have you been doing this week for fun? Have you watched
this
anything
week.
On Netflix?
Maybe just this week.
Maybe yeah. This week. Have you been watching anything lately or listening to anything new?
I've been watching this series on Netflix, Clickbait. I don't know if you know it.
But oh, yeah, Clickbait.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Okay.
And I also enjoyed the reopening of the restaurants, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, really? You've been dining out?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Where exactly are you located? Because with your kind of background, you could be living anywhere and you could be anywhere in the world. Where are you exactly right now?
I'm here in Manila.
Manila, nice.
Oh, okay. Oh, welcome. Great.
I was like, oh, because you could have been in New York, could have been in France, and we wouldn't mm-hmm. have known the difference. It'd be the same. You'd be comfortable wherever you are. Yusra, let's talk about your experience with EHEF. What exactly is your experience with them and your capacity in working with them?
EHEF. So, as attaché for higher education, I am in contact with the French schools, French business schools in France. So, you know, I do like the, how can I say that? I do like, I do the contact between the EU delegation and the French schools there in France. So I help them to introduce their schools, their programs and everything.
So just to give our listeners an idea, how many universities from France are participating in this year's fair?
There will be 26.
Wow.
And you're all like managing them.
Yes.
Right? As you're
trying to.
As attaché.
Are we saying that word correctly?
Yeah, we say it.
Okay, great.
And 26 over the, I mean, spread out all throughout France. I mean, how wide is the spread of the universities, Yusra? Like, is it all across France? Like, is it from north to south, or are they like really centralized somewhere?
Yeah, no, it's like schools from everywhere in France. So we have schools specialized in business, we have engineering, politics, languages. There are also schools in with programs in culinary arts, hotel management, and there will be also some universities. So yeah, we have like, it's very diverse.
Very diverse indeed.
I mean, like when it comes to studying in France during the pandemic, how is it actually?
It's actually pretty good now because the situation in France is much, much, much better. Like we have almost, I think, 80% of the population vaccinated in France.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, universities and schools finally welcomed students physically this year in September, like 1 week ago, I think. So they can go to school and be there with their teachers and everything. So it's easier. And also there are some vaccination centers inside the schools and universities. So if the students want to get vaccinated, you know, it's easier for the students. And also one more thing, which is very good for foreign students. If a foreign student go to study in France, he can get vaccinated there in France.
Oh, what? They've got you covered even with the vaccination? Well, yes, that's pretty cool. How about... Yeah, go ahead.
And then after the vaccination, you can get this, we call it the pass sanitaire, like the health pass, mm-hmm. which allows you to enter museums, restaurants, like all the indoor places.
Ah, so it's kind of like an ID showing that you got vaccinated. That's pretty cool. Wow.
How about for Filipinos who aren't fluent in French? How could they study in French?
Yeah, that might be a concern, like because you know, the language barrier. What is there? Is it difficult for Filipinos who don't speak French?
Actually, it's not that difficult because like this year, like more than 90 students, Filipino students, went to study in France because of the because actually like there are more than 1,000 programs taught in English in France.
Oh, okay. I feel like if you're already there, you would also learn the language by association because, you know, everybody speaks French there, right? I mean, you speak like five languages and you probably like it really helped if you talk to a person who is also fluent in that language. I don't know, because you know what, Yusha, just to tell you, I was trying to learn another language this year. And although like I do know the, you know, like the basics, I feel like it would be more helpful if I spoke with another person who's fluent, like a conversation. So maybe, yeah, like the Filipinos who would like to study in France would be, I don't know, it won't be that hard, right?
Totally possible because like, usually in the programs, they have like French classes for free and you mm-hmm. are like immersed for in free. the French environment with French people. You have to deal everything in French. So it's kind of possible. Yeah. Mostly if you are like in Paris, you have there are a lot of people who can speak English in Paris. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Makes sense. And I guess one final thing. We asked Kenneth earlier, the cost of living there, Yusra, what can we expect if someone were to study there and cost of living, etc. What do you normally tell the as attaché? What do you say?
So I would say first that this amount, the amount of money that you need like for a month varies according to the place where you stay and the type of residence of the student, of course. But usually I would say like a monthly budget of 35,000 pesos, something like that, between 35,000 and 50,000 pesos.
Oh, that's not as high as I thought it would be. That's pretty...
Food, transport and accommodation. Oh, so,
that's like living in BGC here.
I know. I think it's more expensive living in BGC.
And of course, it's different. Like if you live in Paris, it will be much, much more expensive than if you live like in Saint-Étienne. Or I know Kenneth said he was in Saint-Étienne, I think. So it's cheaper than Paris, for example.
Yeah, as a as someone who've vacationed in what's the name of that place again? Saint-Étienne. How do you say it?
Saint-Étienne.
Like as someone who goes there all the time, like me,
once a month
I go there and I say, yeah, it's very cheap, cheaper than Paris.
No, we haven't seen outside of Manila since 2019. In a long time.
But Yusra,
guys.
Yeah. So as a final word, Yusra, can you encourage our listeners, you know, why they should go to not just France, but EHEF in general? Why you think it can be a really great opportunity for our listeners?
Okay, it can be a great opportunity, you know, because, so as I said, you don't have to speak French to go study in France. So that's the most important thing, I think, to know. And also the fees, like it's not that expensive, than other countries, I would say. Not European, but I mean like other countries. And so, yeah, it's like, if you study in France, it's like empowering your career, professional career. It's also like you can have an international career. It's really... And we have also a lot of Filipino students in France, so you won't be the only Pinoy in France. So, yeah.
Yay!
Kabayan! Kabayan! Thank you, Yusra, for joining us. And, you know, just like I think what you really said spoke volumes about, you know, adding to your resume, adding to your life in general. Because even you, Yusra, if you say that you went to university at any university, if you just tell us the name, any name in Europe, we're like, oh wow, they studied in Europe. Whoa, Marika, if you see, meet anyone, it's like, oh, I went to University of blah 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 in Europe. I was like, wow, that's incredible.
And that's like, I would want to talk to someone who studied in another country. I feel like I would live vicariously through you.
Yeah, and you really broaden your horizons by studying in a different country and a different culture. So thank you, Yusra, for joining us and. Hopefully, how do you say bienvenue? How do you say it? How do you say bye-bye? Sorry. Bienvenue. Thank you, Yusra.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Yusra.
So, bye. Au revoir.
Au revoir. Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Thank you.
I love that.
I love it. I love it. And we have one final guest who was actually part of a program in Italy, graduate of 2010, and now the current Associate Dean, Rika G. Oh, my goodness. Look at this resume, Rika G. Current Associate Dean for Environment Studies Cluster, School of Design and Arts at De La Salle College of St. Benilde, so CSB. And she is, wow, look at this resume. So let's just meet her. Christine Bennett. Christine, how do we say your last name? Bennett? Benet?
It's Bennett.
Bennett. Okay.
Bennett.
Kala ko Benet because we're talking Europe, so I had to say everything in European thing. Benet. Christine Bennett. Christine, let's talk about your experience with EHEF. So you actually went to Italy, is that correct?
Yes, Milan to be specific.
How long did you stay there, if I may ask?
Actually, at the time, it was just a year since, compare and explain also. The one that Kenneth mentioned earlier, the Erasmus is the actual master's, which takes around 3 years. Then there's master's that we call also, which takes around 1 to 2 years to finish. So mine is the master's program. Mm.
Okay. So that was a year in Italy. And what made you study in Italy? What made you choose that place?
Well, I have to be honest. 2010 was actually, internet was, how do I say it? Dark ages pa. So, I took my master's already in UP that time. Then I just really wanted to have an opportunity to study abroad, which is the normal, how do I say this, course of life if you're in the creative industry. Mm-hmm. Parang Europe is a benchmark. So anyway, a friend of mine stumbled upon this website and apparently it's different schools in Milan. At that time, it was called Milan Network Designs. So it was a group of different schools in Milan who actually offered scholarships. So it was actually just, I really just tried it out. And of course, thankfully, I passed.
Galing.
Hello.
Yeah. And yeah, you're still there, Hello? Awake?
I thought okay, we you're still there. You're
sorry,
still there.
Sorry, sorry,
okay.
Sorry.
So you passed, and you also said that, you know, as a master's student, especially in the creative arts, you were part of the fashion industry, right? But it's not just for fashion people, no. I mean, it's also something that goes with people who are maybe into graphic design, etc. Is that something that they could also pursue in Europe?
Yes, actually, when I stopped kasi hindi na kayo nagsasalita. So anyway, my course is called what they call this new textile design. Even the name, they had to explain it to us. It was a juxtaposition of something. Mm-hmm. It was putting design and technology together. So when I came, siempre, I guess like Rika, my initial intention was just to have an opportunity to study abroad. But when, of course, I arrived, it was really very overwhelming because it went beyond fashion. I had classmates. I was the only Filipina in the bunch. Then I had classmates from Brazil who were textile designers. Then an wow. Italian who was automotive designer. Then there's also the graphic designer. Then there's also an interior designer. So it was somewhat of a melting pot of design.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have a lot of Lecce fans. We call our listeners here Lecce fans who are actually in the arts, di ba, Rica? We get a lot of emails from students who are, you know, art students, etc. So I think it would be a great opportunity for them. And you mentioned you were the only Pinay there, but Yusra mentioned in France, there's a lot of programs that were taught in English. My language barrier was like Italy. Was there anything that was that made it difficult to study there at all?
Actually, tama yung sabi ni Yusra kanina. It's actually advantages to be a Filipino because I went there with just the intention of flying there. But I had to look for people who weren't even my relatives. Parang makahanap lang ng friend.
Yeah.
Because I was so afraid na Italian, the language is not English, etc. So thankfully, this one I'm really grateful for. Filipinos across the world are so accommodating and hospitality. Kung meron pang mas higher version na word sa hospitable, sila yun. Oo. Then, barrier, actually, we were language barrier. We were given free language classes since Mila Mind is actually a government initiated project. Mm-hmm. However, the thing is, since as I mentioned, I was the only Filipina in class, and we know naman we are somewhat well versed in English. Mm-hmm. It was the other way around. They were the one trying to get to learn English through me.
Oh, really?
So wala ko natutunan basically.
But you did impart knowledge.
Yeah. And
but can yeah. But like when it comes to, because you said that you studied here, your master's here as well. What's like the difference with Italian education when you took that course in Italy?
Yeah, so this is where my how do I say this wisdom of being way older comes in. That's why I guess I'm an administrator now in the school I'm working with. In Italy, like I guess Kenneth has mentioned, it's a whole. They take it holistically. We got to experience the culture and the technology that they had there. Because that's what impressed me. Eh. They're one of the oldest civilization and yet sila yung pinaka-high-tech. Parang ganon. So how can you possibly blend that together? So right now in my position, I know it's a heavy term, but it's called Environment Studies Cluster. It's how do you put together architecture, interior design, industrial design, and fashion to work together for one goal? So it may sound cliche, but that's how for me, Italians, and I guess the rest of Europe has been able to do it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And look at you. I mean, you've achieved a very fantastic position and are able to now impart your success and knowledge to aspiring students, in CSB, but just in general by being part of the EHEF fair. So Christine, I guess one final thing that we, you know, just on the same train of thought as Yusra and Kenneth is kind of try to kind of convince our listeners, because I'm sure a lot of listeners already who've been listening so far are already like, oh, maybe I should look into this. But can you just, as someone who's been through the program and as someone who, you know, has gained a lot from it, can you encourage our listeners once again why they should study not only in Italy, but also just try to be a part of EHEF?
Actually, it's very convenient for me to be an ambassador, because ever since I came back from Italy, being an educator and academician, you're so right with the pronouns.
Yes,
oh, thank you. Yes. Woo. 1 point. Okay, that's a goal for today.
I have been encouraging my students. Well, you have a lot of choices out there where to go. But when it comes to design and the creative industry, as I've said, we have to acknowledge how Europe was able to put together and still, maintain that heritage and culture, and yet going forward progressively with technology. I'm not sobrang traveler, but for example, I also visited France. Some of my students already enrolled in different European schools, and I would encourage, because it opens horizons, a lot of, there's more understanding of how to move forward. We see that there are best practices out there that we can adopt in our country, and maybe also know stumbling blocks that they came across and how they were able to solve it. So Europe for me is coming from the creative industry, again, is very close to my heart, because as Filipinos also, we have to learn how to acknowledge our heritage and be able pa rin to move forward, especially now with the pandemic.
Yes, I think so too. Christine, I think you closed it off very well there. So thank you so much for joining us. And
I think your
words and everyone who spoke here today have at least convinced, if we convince at least one Lecce fan to pursue higher education, maybe they could be the next associate.
I know. Representative of the Halo Halo Show.
Thank you so much, Christine, for joining us. And
Thanks, Christine.
Guests today, I think we learned a lot, Norica G.
Definitely.
So just once again, if you want to be a part of it, you can visit the EHEF Philippines website and the EHEF Philippine Facebook account for more information. It's a 2-day fair happening from October 1 and 2. So if you're listening right now, you still have time.
To all the Lecce fans, if you're part of our Facebook group, we're going to post there too. So if you're interested, it's easier for you to know more about EHEF. Yeah. The link. Yeah. All right.
And that's it for the commercials. So that does it for
commercials.
To pay the bills.
Commercials.
To pay the bills.
Commercials.
To pay the bills. Wapow! All right! Bilisa! let's do our
TV magic.
You like that? Right? Get the editing, no?
All right.
But yeah, shout out to the EHEF once again. Let's do our final two TTs, both kind of not related, but similar in the sense that there is a death involved and there is a mystery that is kind of surrounded the cases so far. Let's start with
Get us wrong. Don't get us wrong. These are very serious matters. Okay. Indeed. It involves, you know, a life of an actual person.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start. If you guys have been on the internet, there's this story going around, and it's about Bree Johnson, an artist, a 30-year-old artist, was found dead and unconscious in a resort in La Union. And apparently, Bree shared that room with Julian Ongpin, who is the son of a billionaire. And you guys know the last name, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. So they shared a room in that resort, and he was later arrested due to possession of illegal drugs. So they have yet to reveal the cause of death. And I feel like at this point, maybe the family also wants some privacy. And there were a number of people in the industry, in the creative industry, you know, art scene, who have, what do you call it, released their tributes to Bree Johnson. So it says here that Bree Johnson is a Filipino contemporary artist who left a career in engineering. And then she's also a musician, and she now, and she focused her time on making art as well. So of course, condolences, and you know, I'm very sorry for, you know, their loss, the family. And yeah, I mean, they don't really have like a lot of details yet that they released.
The autopsy still, they're still awaiting. At the time of this recording, they're still awaiting the autopsy results.
And apparently the Leon Gallery in Makati also offer their condolences. There we go. Condolences for the, you know, for the passing of Bree Johnson.
Yeah.
And yeah, pretty heavy news, especially for the, because I heard it from a couple of people, and they said that they knew, or like they met them once, and it was just like all so shocking. So
she's young, huh?
I mean, she's young, yeah.
She looks like, I don't know how old she is, but she looks like she's younger than us, or younger than me at least.
And I mean, the talent, the talent that she has. So condolences. Yikes.
Condolences
to your family.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they figure out what really happened. Because right now, according to, you know, the reports, it's a suspected suicide. But we won't know, you know, if there is any foul play, until the autopsy report and whatnot. So, you know, just keep up to date. You know, we probably might not cover this again next week, but you know, you can look up what happened. Down the line to see what the updates are.
Yeah. If you do want to see, like on Twitter, there's like a bunch of threads on like photos of her art, and it's just, it's wonderful. Art, yeah.
I saw it. I mean, I didn't know of her.
Yeah. It's today, so vibrant.
But I looked at it. But the ones that I saw were like underwater style of painting. Ganda.
Ganda. Yeah. So it's on Twitter. You guys can, you know, you guys can look there.
Yeah. All right. Shall we wapow to the last TT?
Whoop-ow.
All right, the last TT is a case that has captivated the internet. It's actually specifically on TikTok, but it's the case of the disappearance and I guess the finding of a girl named Gabby Petito. So there's this girl in the U.S. Her name's Gabby Petito. She's a travel blogger, and her boyfriend's name was Brian Laundry. They took off in her van. It's a white van, and they went cross country across the United States to document their trip on YouTube and on Instagram, et cetera, et cetera. And so in June they left, and then in July they were posting photos, traveling through the thing. And then there was an incident in August. So during this trip, there was an incident in August where the couple were actually stopped by police in Utah. Reporting a domestic dispute between the two. So there was like body cam footage showing like their confrontation. And it was clear that there was some sort of disagreement between Brian and Gabby, right? Well, no one was detained, but they kind of just, you know, at least from that point forward, you already know that there's already some tension building. And here's the thing that kind of went crazy is that when Brian, the guy, returned home, he returned without Gabby Petito. So they're like, oh shit. Like so the family reported her missing, right? Like, where is she? You know, at that point you're like, wouldn't the guy know, right? The boyfriend, see Brian. And here's the thing though. So the family didn't contact Brian for like 3 days. And now Brian is missing. He ran away. And no one can find him. They're trying to find him to get more information on because he was the last person to see where Gabby was. So he's.
I mean, running away says a lot.
A lot, right? Indeed.
Yeah. And
but here's also a thing that was very crazy is that they were looking for information on how to find Gabby Petito, right? Mm-hmm. And there are these vloggers that were filming in the same area where Gabby and Brian were at one time. And while these other vloggers, naman, were editing their footage, they actually saw the van of Gabby Petito in their footage while they were editing. So they sent this to the authorities. And because of this this footage, the authorities were able to kind of narrow down their search parang area. And they were actually able to find a body that was consistent with the description of si Gabby. So I think as of yesterday, wala pang confirmation na si Gabby Petito yung body that they found.
Yeah.
It could be different by the time this recording is out already. But because of that, you know, that crazy coincidence, I mean, I don't know the odds of that. What are the odds of that happening, right? Being the van being caught on like some external footage like that wasn't even going to be used.
You know, it's, and they, for me, parang, I know that's so crazy, no, that I feel like it's something that we have to worry about now because it's so easy to whip out a phone and whatever you're doing, it could be caught in another person's phone.
Yeah.
And what are the chances that, you know, these people who were just vlogging randomly would actually come up and say, hey, we have footage, because they could have just said, whatever, you know, I'm just going to delete it or whatever. Diba? But it's so crazy to think that we actually live in a world where we're all just connected. You're all captured in a camera. You know that Fast and Furious movie, The God's Eye?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah. I feel like that could happen in the future.
Yeah, everyone knows saying, where you are. And you
I'm sure.
They can see like your facial recognition.
I mean,
in the same vein, because of it, this case actually blew up on TikTok.
Yes.
There was multiple trends, including one from a TikToker named Miss Campbell, who has around 150,000 followers. And she actually took to the platform to try to reunite Gabby with her parents. And she would post all these like, you know, updates and whatnot. And people were chiming in. And there were people who were saying like, oh, you know, I might've seen them here, blah, blah, blah. It's kind of like Don't Fuck With Cats on Netflix.
Yes. But
instead of trying to find the documentary, The Killer of the Cats, in this case, they're trying to find what really happened to Gabby. So it's a fascinating thing. There's too much to unpack, to be honest, in the podcast. Like, just look at it online, and it's such a crazy, it's such a crazy story, man. Like how it's all going down. I mean, and they're saying as of today, as of this recording, that he has not been charged with a crime yet. I get it, right? Because of the rules of the law and whatnot. But why would he leave?
Why would he run? Yeah.
And they're reporting him as missing, but he's hiding, bro. He's not missing. He's fucking, he doesn't want to be found. That's how I see it. I know I'm jumping the gun here, but go on, man. Why would he like not cooperate with the investigation?
Mm-hmm.
It's so sketch.
It's so sketchy. It's like the sketchiest of them all.
Oh my goodness.
Also, isn't it? But also because I mean, like only from the movies that I watched and everything, saying that it's hard to solve, you know, a murder or a crime if the body isn't found. So since they haven't found the body, maybe that's the reason why they're being iffy with you know, the accusation of him being guilty.
The autopsy results, though, will be released today, U.S. time. So actually, we're recording hindi pa Tuesday, hindi pa released. So until then, they probably can't proceed further with the investigation, to a higher extent.
I mean, TikTok is having a field day too.
I mean, I'm hoping that the body that they found, I mean, I know it sounds weird to hope that it's her, but if it is her, it makes things more transparent, because if it's a different body, which is kind of, that's also scary. Like, oh, another body like found in the, you know, this place. Mm-hmm. But if it is her, at least it will give, I think, some closure to the family, right? Because that's probably one of the most devastating things, like never knowing what happened.
You know, it's really so crazy how massive the untouched land or barely touched land that they have in the States. Yung parang, because I know like a lot of stories, because I listened to this one murder podcast, right? Yeah. And we talk about a lot of these kinds of stories where people would, you know, climb a mountain, go to the forest or whatever, like randomly. They wouldn't actually even know where they are, and they would find a body. They would step on a hand. And
there's so much empty space.
Exactly. Yeah. And even like the rangers who guard the whole area, they don't even know what's in there. Yeah, you know what I mean?
It's like thousands and thousands of square miles of trees and desert. It's huge. There's a vast, like, it's like a vast ecosystem of like stuff that cannot really be covered by one
person. As much as they have, you know, like a lot of big cities, they also have a lot of, you know, untouched land. Yeah. So, they, like, unknown what's in there.
That's what I'm saying. Like, finding that, like, the vloggers who got the footage, it's like literally finding needle in a haystack.
Yeah. That was crazy.
Odds. Yeah. Uh-uh. So if you want to keep up to date with it, I mean, just, you know, keep up to date with the news on Gabby Petito. That's GabbyPetito. Other than that, any final thoughts on this, Rika G?
That's it, man. I actually want to watch Squid Game, but I'm thinking I want to watch Matrix first the first one.
Have you ever seen it?
Never.
Oh, okay. Then what you got to do.
Okay, look. Okay. Somebody made me realize that The Matrix isn't actually a movie about just like made up stuff. It's like philosophical and shit.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm kind of interested now. Nobody ever told me about how it's actually not sci-fi made up stuff.
What do you mean?
So, I mean,
it,
like,
it is sci-fi though.
No. I mean, like, alam mo yun, parang it's just like wala lang. You know what? I can't explain.
Well, basically, it makes you wonder if you are living in a computer.
Exactly.
That's
yeah.
What
so. Yun yung parang medyo nagpa catch na attention ko, and I'm like, maybe I should watch that.
Okay.
I haven't watched it. But alam mo, na realize ko, feeling ko hindi ko talaga kaya yung Star Wars. Because I did try the first one.
Okay.
The first one that's actually not the first one.
Yung OG, the old one. Yung sa 80s or
70s. Anong number yun? Hindi ko na kasi alam
four,
eh.
Episode 4.
New Hope. So, yung ano may pew-pew yan.
Lahat naman may pew-pew.
Yung ano, yung may parang ano, yeah, no, aliens.
Si R2-D2. May lahat eh.
May lahat.
si Luke Skywalker. Luke Skywalker.
Na bata. Tama ba?
Hindi. Hindi. All right.
Anyway.
Well, report back to us on Matrix next week.
Sige. All right.
Extra song.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.